This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
My weakness. I don't know about y'all, but that speaks volume to my soul. I'm going to say it again. You don't have to be the strongest.
Amen.
Because He's perfect in our weakness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this time that you're allowing us to share the word of God to your people. God, we ask right now that you hide me behind your cross, and that you say what you want to say, do it how you want to do it, Lord God. And let the people be receptive to the word of God. Because this is your word, not my word. And Lord God, these are your people, not my people. Have your way, God. Calm the anxiety.
Yes, God.
Calm the discomfort.
Yes, God.
Help, God.
Yes.
You just said I don't have to be strong. Because you're perfect in my weakness. So I turn it over to you, Lord God, and that you may have your way. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.
Yes, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank God for today, Lord God. I would not be before you long. I say that all the time, but y'all may be seated. I say that all the time, but I really mean it. I believe I set my timer this time. I set my timer. Amen. To my pastor that's in the back, and to my family, my husband and my daughter on the side over there, we thank God for you that's in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to get right to the word, because we know we got a lot of other things to be doing. But we know the word of God is important. Amen.
Yeah.
It helps our daily life. So if you'll be so kind to travel with me to Acts chapter 16. I did tell y'all to be seated because I'm going to read a little more than, and it's okay. Acts chapter 16, starting at verse number 22. Acts chapter 16, verse number 22. And it reads, this is the King James Version. And I ask that y'all pray my strength. I have not been feeling my best. But God is good.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Acts chapter 16, verse number 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. Say, they rose up. Now, let's do that again.
They rose up.
And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Say they embarrassed them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who has received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast into the stocks. And at midnight, somebody said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them and suddenly, say expediently, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his slumber, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And we're going to stop right there, but the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. And if I had to tag this text, I'll tag it in the midnight season. The word of God also states in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, there to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. We notice that we're in the fall season right now. Later we'll be in the winter season. After that, we'll be in the spring season. It's always a season that we're in. And so happened in this particular passage, they're going to be in a midnight season. Amen. When you look at the book of Acts, it was written by the physician Luke. He wrote Luke, the book of Luke, and the book of Acts. To give an accurate account of the birth and the growth of the Christian church, beginning in Jerusalem with a small group of disciples. It was a small group of disciples that was dispatched in different parts of the area to bring about God's good news or the gospel or instructions or directions on whatever it is that we need to be going forth in ministry, amen, or in the churches. It stated, when I looked that up, it stated that they were preaching and teaching everywhere. They went to the streets, they went to the churches, they went to the synagogues, they went to the courtrooms, they even went on hills, valleys, streets, it did not matter, desert places. They went everywhere God sent them, they went to spread the good news. So, y'all, we got to understand we do need to be a disciple of Christ. It does not matter if you being a preacher, teacher, or apostle. Just be a Christian, and you can spread the good news. Amen. Even in them doing what they did best, a lot of times if we were to be sent out and you knew the outcome before you were sent out, you wouldn't go. You wouldn't go. Who wants to go get persecuted? Nobody. Nobody. So which brings us to Paul and Silas. Paul was sent to Macedonia in a dream. A man came to Paul in a dream saying, come help us in Macedonia. So here Paul took a boat to Macedonia and ended up in Philippi, as we want to call it. I don't want to get it right. That was a little state that was inside inside Macedonia. So he did. Macedonia is the state, and then we want to say Winfield Country, Louisiana. You know what I'm trying to say. I want y'all to understand. He did go to Macedonia. He did. and he was sent there on a mission. I'm telling y'all, if the Lord give me points before I go, I'm not going. That's the human part of me. I don't want to go. So here we go, Paul and Silas, they went, they took their boat, they went, and they said they were going to preach and teach the gospel. On their way, preaching and teaching to prayer, to preach and teach the gospel, they met a woman. The Bible says she was a fortune teller. And I'm not saying she was whatever. That's for another time. But I will say that she was a fortune teller. And some of what she was saying was truth. It was truth. It just wasn't in line with where God wants to be. Y'all, we got to understand a lot of times, even though you're speaking the truth, if you're not in line with the Bible, then it's out of order. It's out of order. We have to learn to be in order with what God wants us to do. It does not matter who you are. If you're not speaking the word of God in the right order, then you're out of order. Amen. So she was speaking the truth. And after a couple days, she kept doing it. And she was saying, these men have come to tell to preach and teach the gospel and teach us how to live right. She was telling the truth. But in the essence of it, she was also kind of being, I don't know, what word would we call that? She was kind of being smart about it. So that means she wasn't in line with what God wanted to do. Amen? So Paul got, I'm going to say he got angry, but I'm going to say he got tired of the rip-rock. And he decided to say, demon, spirit, come out of her. Amen? Come out of her. And immediately the spirit come up out of her. In the presence of that, she was being used by some higher power. Amen? She was being used to make some money for some higher power. So they didn't like that she was being delivered. See, sometimes people don't like when you're being delivered. They like for you to stay where you are because they get benefits out of you being in bondage. So he told that spirit to come up out. And in coming up out, it released her from where she was. And the people or the person that was her judge, or well, I'm not going to say judge, but her master that she was benefiting from didn't like it. And see, when people don't like what you do, they set the stage for something else. Which brings us to verse number 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. See, it took somebody to lose something. And when you look at the mob, when you look at a mob, that means a collective of people. And a lot of time the mob is more greater than the individual. They are a group of people that's setting the stage to push the other person aside or out. They come to scrutinize, or they come to make sure what you're supposed to be doing, you don't do no more. Amen? So the mob rose up against them. I want to go to my Message Bible because y'all know I love the Message Bible. And I want y'all to hear what they say. Because a lot of times we don't understand the King James Version of the Bible. But the Message Bible, it breaks it down. It says here, the judges went along with the mob, and Paul and Silas' clothes ripped off and ordered a public beating. The judges went along with the mob. The judges are supposed to be the people that keep order. The judges are supposed to be the ones that keep things in place. And they're supposed to be fair. But we see right here in the Word of God, they're not fair because they went along with the mob. A mob comes to destroy some people. They come to hurt some people. But they went along with it. And it says here, the mob went along and they stripped off Paul and Silas' clothes and ordered a public beating. Y'all, let me testify real quick. You can check me all day long, and I have no problem with that. I might get mad, but you can check me. But when you do it in public, my whole attitude changed. Y'all can play like y'all's don't, but I'm here to get free. You can check me. Take me in the room, check me. That's fine. We're good. But when you publicly embarrass me in front of people, then that changes the outcome of how I'm going to react to it. I don't know about y'all, so everybody, maybe, yeah, y'all too. I ain't going to even say about, no, everybody, y'all too. You let somebody embarrass y'all in public. We're going to see the real side come out. They was embarrassed. They were beaten, stripped of their clothes, beaten, bloody, made mockery in front of everybody. Okay. Okay. It's okay. When I think about the midnight season or the midnight, we always think about the midnight as being a time because it's the later part of the night, the darkness. And we think about that in the midnight, it's really dark. You're usually by yourself. You're pretty much at home. Sometimes we're asleep, whatever. But it's in a place in your life that it puts you by yourself. It isolates you to the point of nobody's there but you and the Lord. I come to address the midnight season. I heard a testimony today, and I started to say, get out of my message. I started to tell her that, but God just assured me that that's where I was supposed to be. That's all that was. When you look at the word midnight, or when you look at the midnight season, we all have one. We are probably in one, going through one, or just coming out of one. The midnight season pertains to the pain that you're going through, the distress that you're in, the divorce that you're going through or have went through, the unruly children, the church hurt. That's a midnight season. And in that midnight season, you got to be doing something in that midnight season. See, a midnight to me stands, it just puts me, sometimes I be in pain and I don't let nobody know I'm in pain. I'm discouraged and I don't let nobody know I'm discouraged. But God got a way of bringing some people in your path to encourage you in the Lord. You don't have to stay where you are. So think about your midnight season. Because we all have one. And we all going to have one. You ain't just going to have it and it's just going to go bye-bye and you ain't going to have it again. You're going to have it again and again and again and again. You're going to have it, and it's going to continue to walk in your life. So you need to know how to deal with it. You got to know how to deal with it. Are you going to stay in a place that you don't need to be in despair, hurt, bondage, if you don't know how to get out of it? I heard the testimony saying that I knew what God was saying to me. I knew where I needed to be, but it was hard because of what I was in to come out of it. I'm not going to tell a testimony, but I'm telling you, I'm going to high five you because I know where you are. Amen? I know where you have been. Because that season in your life is the most detrimental season in your life. I know everybody in here done looked at the movie Straw. She lost her job. She lost her child. The movie Straw. She lost her job. She lost her child. She lost her mind. It was Taraji P. Y'all remember that movie? Oh, man, she had lost everything in one day. We ain't talking about a season. She lost it all in one day. It was like people was against her all in one day. And when I tell y'all, it can feel like that, that people are against you. People are kicking you. People are mishandling you. People have pushed you to the side. It can feel like that when you're in that midnight season. But you got to know without a shadow of a doubt who and who you serve, because you got to have him to come out of it. You got to have him to come out of this thing. So it says here in the midnight season, Paul and Silas, they sang, they praised songs unto the Lord. Which brings me to my point number one. Midnight, during midnight, prayer, worship, and praise. See, we downplay worship. We downplay praise. It don't take all of that. We don't have to do all of that. But the word of God said we do. We need to get in our praise. We need to get in prayer. The song says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your problems. Hear your faintest cry. And he what? Answer what? By and by. But you got to have a talk with him. And in your talk, he going to talk and commune with you. And when you talking and communion with him, he going to give you worship. You got to learn to worship God. A true and sincere worship will bring about a change. It don't matter what's going on in your life. It don't matter who's going on in your life. You got a sincere worship, it'll bring you all the way out. I think we heard our pastor preach one time, worship while you're wounded. They were wounded. They were beat. They were ostracized. And they still caught a mist of, I got to change my focus. Because if I dwell on the beating, if I dwell on the mishap, if I dwell on what y'all did or said to me, I can't get where I need to be. So in the midnight, we have decided, they have decided, you need to decide what you're going to do in your midnight season. Are you going to complain about it? Woe is me, I can't pay my bills, woe is me. When the doctor gave you that diagnosis, what you going to say, woe is me? Or are you going to say, by your stripes, God, you said I'm healed? You going to say, woe is me? Or you going to change your outlook, you'll change your mindset? It says, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. See, your praise and your worship is not just for you. It's for somebody else as well. See, a lot of times we think just praising, it's just me, it's me, I'm getting mine. But how many of you know somebody know your situation, somebody know your story, and they watching how you come through it. You're not the only one that's going through something. And as long as you're on this earth, somebody gonna see it. And they watching to see how you gonna come out of it. Are you gonna stay down or you gonna rise up? Because I'm telling you, they watching. And some of them ain't watching for the best. They want to see your demise. They want to see you fall. They don't want to see you come out. Amen? But that's another topic for another story. Paul and Silas prayed and they sang. They worshiped the Lord. And when you worship the Lord will bring about a praise. He'll bring about a praise if you're sincere in your worship. He'll bring about a praise. He'll put a praise on your lips. He'll put a praise down in your soul. And I'm telling you, it won't matter what's going on around you. It won't matter what's going on in front of you. He'll put a praise. And when I tell you, it'll be just like you don't see nothing. You don't see nothing. But you got to get in a place that that's what you need to do. You got to have the mindset that I need to pray to the Lord about my situation. Amen? So, midnight praise, midnight prayer, worship, and praise will bring about a divine deliverance. A divine deliverance. Here it says, let me go back to King James because I don't want to lose anybody. King James Version says that, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Suddenly. Y'all, it don't take God long to do nothing. I don't know about y'all. I get excited. That's why I be up here excited. Because it don't take my God long to do nothing. It comes so quick sometimes. I can be in a season of loneliness, I'm telling y'all, and I can get up the next morning and it says, it's gone. So suddenly means quickly, God can make that thing change. He can change that situation all the way around. I looked up, y'all know, I don't know about y'all if you know, but I looked up earthquake, and I had to, because an earthquake is, we know, we just think about an earthquake as shimmering and shaking and all that good jazz, but I'm going to read y'all something, because you need to know why an earthquake come. An earthquake is a sudden, violent shaking of the earth's crust, caused by an abrupt release of energy in the earth's crust. It is built from stress over time. Eventually, the stress comes to a great energy, and it releases a shaking of the ground. So if you are pressed hard enough, or you in bondage hard enough, and you praying hard enough, it'll cause a deliverance that you ain't never experienced. It'll cause a deliverance that you ain't never seen in your life. It'll deliver you out of bondage. And I like the way the word put that, because it says it released the shackles and the doors. It didn't just release the shackles because you'd have still been in bondage because the gate would have been still closed. It didn't release just the shackles because the gate would have still been closed. But it didn't release the door because you'd have still been shackled. It took the root of the foundation, and it broke it all up and released you from whatever was holding you bondage. Y'all got to know that mentally, physically, and emotionally, you can be in bondage. And if you don't deal with that bondage, it'll keep you pressed down. But if you turn your praise to the Lord, He is so just and faithful that He can break it and shake it and uproot it. God can uproot some stuff if you let Him. I looked at that word and I kept saying, okay, He broke it, He unfastened it, and then He opened the doors. He don't just stop at one thing. You might be asking God for a healing and He'll bless you financially. You might be asking God to take you to higher heights, and He's saying, no, I need you to forgive. He don't just stop at the thing that you ask Him for. He takes all of it. I thank God for His deliverance power, because He will deliver you up out of it all. Not some things, all things. And it says, suddenly there was an earthquake, a shattering, a shaking. Tell God to shake you loose. Tell Him to shake you loose from your stuff. Shake me loose, God, from my own way of thinking. Because you can't see God with your own thinking. You got to have the Holy Spirit. Tell Him to shake you loose from this bondage of they say, he say, she say. Shake me loose. Shake me loose from poverty. Shake me loose from hurt. Y'all, hurt is real. We like to minute it. Play like it don't happen. You need to be better than that. You know the word of God, but it's real. And you got to deal with it. It ain't so much that you got to deal with it. It's how you deal with it. He know you got to deal with it, but how you come through it is what we need to bring forth. So that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. That means He set me free of whatever that was holding me bondage. He set me free from whatever I thought that I needed to be in. Sometimes we put ourselves in stuff and then we ask God to bring us out. And He'll do that too, y'all. He's so sweet. He's so sweet and kind. He'll do that too. But it says here that suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundation of the prison was shaken. God don't just set us free temporary. He'll set you free permanently. Now, if you decide to go back to it, that's on you. But He'll set you free from it. He'll give you a door of escape. My God. He'll give you a door of escape. He deals with every foundation that's holding you. Whatever it is that's holding you today, God can shake you loose from it. He can send an earthquake in your situation and shake you and break it, unfasten it. Ooh, that's good. That's good to me. That's good to me. That's good to me. Amen. So that brings about the shaking, shake the foundation of the problem. We need to shake that foundation. Shake it. And you can't do it by your own might. It's got to be by God. See, a lot of times, I'm telling you, that testimony resonated with me because it was said, it was absolutely said, I was in something I didn't know how to come out of. And it was so many things going on in my life and in my world, it played a big impact on how I viewed myself and how I viewed the people of God and how I came into the house of God. See, we got to be mindful of what when we're going through things. We go through things and we think we're just big and bad enough to just pull ourselves out. And so hurt people hurt other people. Angry people treat other people, act just come out and just do anything to them. They do. Because they have not been delivered in some areas in their lives. But God say he come to shake that off, to break those bondages, to break all that pain, to break all that remorse, to break it up off your life. He came to uproot it. You know, we think about a lot of times when we say uproot or break, we think about somebody that's on drugs and God delivered them from drugs. God delivered you because you was in some pain. You had a loved one and that was the love of your life or whatever case may be. And God delivered you. So that's what we think about. But how many times y'all know God need to deliver us from ourselves? See, because when you're in that thing, it plays hard down locks on your mind. And your mind has to be transformed. So we have to be, it ain't about what somebody else is saying. It's about what's going on in your midnight season. Don't look at nobody else's midnight season because they got their own. But you need to look at your midnight season. Where you are, what you're going through. Because I guarantee you, we all are going through something. We all are going through something. But God comes to not just temporarily free us, but he came to deal with everything that's holding you bondage. My time is ticking. And once God shake the foundation or once God do what he need to do, when he bring about that deliverance, a divine deliverance in your life, after you have praised, you have prayed, you have worshiped, deliverance come. And when deliverance come, then you can show forth the deliverance. You can't show forth no deliverance if you ain't delivered. See, we like to show forth and we ain't delivered. We like to say, look at me, look at me, look at me, and you know you got a lot of hang-ups. But when you are delivered and God has set you free, you can step out and say, now look at me. I went through it. God delivered me from it. Now I need to be able to share my testimony with somebody. And sometimes, y'all, you got to share with the person, the very person that hurt you. The very person that hurt you or you got to show forth God in it, even in the hurt. Even in the pain, you got to show forth God. To those that have misused you, abused you, kicked you, mishandled you, you still got to show forth. Look at the jailer. I'm in the text. The jailer was the one that oppressed them. And they had to show forth. Even in the time, they had to show forth God's presence. It's important, y'all, that it didn't just shake Paul and Silas' cage or their prison. It shook the whole prison. It wasn't just for my deliverance. It might be for everybody deliverance. So who you connected with is important. You want to connect with somebody that's coming before the Lord. It said all of their prisons, their cells was open. It didn't just say one person. It said everybody. So my deliverance might help you. When I'm sure, and that's just my imaginary mind, I'm sure when they came into that prison, they saw a lot of different people. Some of them, us. Let's just bring it to us. Not even talk about pie. Look, we're going to talk about strawberries and creams. Here comes strawberries and creams, and they don't like peaches and plums. And peaches and plums is in that cell over there. Ice cream and cookies is over here in this cell, and I don't like them either. But they in the cell. When God came to deliver, he didn't say, keep that closed for peaches and cream and ice cream and cookies over here. You keep that one closed too. And you just open the one that's in the middle. That ain't what he said. He said all of them is loosed. We better be careful how we are ostracizing and pushing people out. And have our picks and chooses of who we want God to bless. You better be careful on how you are handling God's people. God came for us all. He died for each and every one of us. Not a specific gender, not a specific political party, black, white, blue. He came for us all. So we better be careful. We better be careful of how we are handling God's people. And that means all of us. I ain't talking about me, the preacher, or the teacher. I'm talking about everybody. You got to handle people with care. We want to be handled with care, but we want to dish out anything. We want to receive love, but we don't want to give love. That's what God is saying. It's easy for me to get up here and throw off on you and I don't speak to you tomorrow. That ain't God. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Just because you didn't speak to me today don't mean I am supposed to speak to you. Show forth God in the midst of your animosity and your anger. Show forth God. It didn't say you wouldn't get angry, but it said the word says sin not. You're going to get angry, but the word says sin not. So we better be careful of how we feel like it's okay to close this one out and close this one out, and I'm just the one that's going to get it. No, it don't work like that. My God loves us all. Amen? So I had to bring that. I don't know why. God, I probably was going to skip that. But we got to learn that. Because when we come into a place, or even, it doesn't matter what kind of place it is, it's all people, different walks of life in that place. And you might need to be ministered to the very person you're turning up your nose to. So I'm sure when Paul and Silas was in there praying and praising, they weren't saying, well, God, don't bless them over there because I don't like them. I'm sure that ain't what they said. They show forth the Lord in the praise and the worship, and God released a divine deliverance for everybody that was in that cell. In that prison, he delivered all of them. He broke the snaps off of everybody's. And open the doors for everybody to be blessed. Amen? So it's important, y'all, how you're going through your midnight. It's important. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. I know you don't want to be there. I know you get angry. I know you're thinking to yourself, y'all don't know what I'm going through. I got this on me. I got that on me. I'm here. I'm there. I know you're saying it. It's still important to show forth God's grace and mercy, even in that. Make sure that you are showing forth, because your showing forth will allow somebody else to come to Christ. It's all about pulling people to Christ, y'all. It's all about God, y'all. It's all about pulling people to Christ. He said the jailer, which was the oppressor. Think about your oppressors. I know y'all can see them in your mind right now. Think about your oppressors. I know you can see them. The jailer was an oppressor. But he still, because he done witnessed them go through what they were going through, he's saying to himself, what must I do to be saved? I have a question for you. And just think about it in your time. Just think about it. Paul and Silas was praying and worshiping, and they was doing, but they weren't the only ones in there. They was not the only ones in there. It was other people in the cell. And it says here that they were listening. Other people were listening to the praises, because they were so loud that other people were listening to the praises of them. I don't know if they joined in. I don't know. But my question would be, when the oppressor, which was the jailer, which was slumbering and sleeping, and the earthquake woke him up, and when he woke up, everybody was loosed. And in that, he was saying to himself, he might as well go on and kill himself, because he know them people loose. He know he in trouble. But there it said, Paul shouted out, we're all still here. Y'all, how many times when God deliver you, you run? You think about you. God opened a cell for you, you running up out of there. How many of y'all going to stay there and sit and wait? Y'all, maybe y'all, I don't know. I was a track star. I was a track star. Love to run. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to tell y'all I was going to be sitting there. But Paul and Silas, they sat there and they stayed in the midst of it. And they told the jailer, don't kill yourself. Which brings me to my last point. The power of gospel compassion. See, because if they'd have ran out, he'd have killed himself. He'd have killed himself. So in killing himself, how is God getting the glory out of that? Our lives are supposed to be a shining light for the people to see. The word of God says that joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what it says. And it said, you got to know the scriptures. You got to know the scripture. Let this light shine in me, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. So if they'd have left, he'd have killed himself. He'd have killed himself. So God wasn't getting no glory out of that. Paul himself was for God to get the glory. For God to get the glory. And when God gets the glory, then man, boy, girl, whatever, running to say, what must I be saved? My question to you was, all them people that was in there, why did they just go to Paul and Silas? Why did he just go to Paul and Silas, if y'all ever read that? Why would he just go? It was a lot of people in there. And all their doors was open. see because their life, what they lived before they got in prison. They didn't just live the life in prison. It was a life that they had to live before prison. And believe me, they heard, they watched. Your life ain't just your life. I know we want it to be. They need to stay out of my business. Whatever. You are the only Bible some people gonna read. Your life is supposed to be a light where people may be able to see the Lord working freely in your life. When you got that mentality, stay out of my business, that means you're doing something you don't have no business. And you don't want nobody to know what you're doing. Yeah, that's why people say that often. They always say, just stay out of my business. Well, yeah, you're doing something you don't want nobody to know. But when you got an open book and you don't mind being a testimony for the Lord, watch me. Watch me. I might slip and fall, but watch how I get back up. Watch me. So why did they just go? Why did he just go to Paul and Silas and fall down on his knees and ask them, what must I do to be saved? Because the life, and I'm going to answer it for you, the life which they lived was heard about, was seed about. So it made it perfectly clear. They were singing songs. They was praising God. They was doing whatever. It wasn't just in the prison. They were doing it outside the prison. They was preaching and teaching outside the prison. So when we get in the prison, you know you got to continue to preach and teach in the prison. So continue to preach and teach in your midnight season. It don't matter what you're going through. It don't matter how you or why you're going through it. Because a lot of times when you're going through it, you're going through it for somebody else. So they're watching. They're paying attention to your business to see how you're going to handle the scrutiny, the beating, the pain, the sickness. They are watching how you're going to handle it. And when you handle it right, they'll come before the Lord and say, I want some of that they got. I want some of that they got. I want some of that she got. Because they're watching how you came through. And it might be the very person that hurt you. I am done. I'm done. Amen. I'm done. I hope and pray that I have said something that when you're going through your midnight season, your hopelessness, that you know a God that sits high and looks low and I break them chains and open up them doors and pull you all the way out. If he can do it for Paul and Silas, he can do it for you and me. He can do it for me and you. God is good, y'all. And in my midnight season, I've learned to worship. I'm a worshiper by nature anyway. I love to worship the Lord. Because in my worship, he's working everything out for me. He's working out everything that's connected to me. He's working it out. Because I worship him with a sincere heart. Don't just worship. Pray. Pray. Y'all, pray, pray, pray. Pray. Because this world is evil. It's evil. And don't forget that in that you need to praise. You need to have a praise on your lips. You need to have a praise in your walk. You need to have a praise in your talk. You need to have a praise. And in your praise, God will deliver you. He'll deliver you just where you are. None have come. We thank God for the word. Amen. Yeah. Right before I sit down, or I turn it over to the children to get ready for offering, it's something the Lord just dropped in my spirit. Even in our midnight season or our hour, midnight is always right before the morning comes, amen. A minute and it'll be morning. We have no excuse from now on that when you're going through something, to treat people a certain way. You have no excuse to handle people ugly.